I may get straight and plain, and if I hit you, it's every bit intentional. Don't think I done it accidentally, because I didn't. It's every bit intended. I believe that we got very little time left, and what we're going to do, folks, we better do quick. I believe that. We better be about the Father's business. I was at a... Now, while you're finding the book of Acts, chapter 17, this morning we're going to continue on how the victory over. We've been talking about the altar brings victory. But I have victory over the false altars. I want to tell you, folks, in this hour that we live, there's way more altars presented in falsehood than there is in reality and real. I was talking to a man just this week in a business, place of business, and we got to talking about church. This man said, "I love the Lord. I believe," he said. Well, the devil believes, and the Bible says he even trembles. He probably believes much more than most folks you know, because he's been there. But he said, "I don't believe that you have to go to church to be a Christian." Well, I let him go ahead and say his piece, and I mean, he done talked to the wrong one. Now, most folks might go along and say, "Well, maybe so, but me, I need to be in the..." But I said, "Uh-uh." I said, "Me and my wife, Diana, married in 1979. And I said, ever since then, she's been my wife, and I want her with me. I want her with me. She lives in my house. We live together." And I said, "If we fall in love with the Lord the way he wants us to, we're going to want to be in his house. We're not going to be ashamed of him. And everywhere we go..." I can tell you, if my wife didn't want me to go to town with her, I'd get suspicious. And everybody I see, now she probably don't as much me as I do her, but I'll say, "Hey, that's my bride. Yeah, that and it stands out over there. That and it looks different. That's my bride." I believe the church is going to look different, don't you? I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And I stated to this individual, of course, in just a minute, he said, "Well, maybe you're right." I said, "If we love him, we'll love his house. If we love him, love his house, we love his ways. And everywhere we go, we're not going to be ashamed, but we're going to be thankful and proud to say that I'm one of them. I'm one of them." Hallelujah. But the false... Now, if we don't have victory over the false altars, then, folks, we go with the flow. Brother Nathan said something last week. He stated about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he said he didn't know why. Well, after a while, I said, "I know why." And this morning, he talked about saw a wet spot in the dig. There was some effort involved, I can tell you. And he dug down 2 foot deep, and after a while found where somebody at one time had an old wooden barrel there in a spring, and the debris, one grain of sand at a time, he said, one leaf at a time, he said, one particle of dirt. Do you know that the floods and troubles of this life will overwhelm us if we're not careful? We've got to allow the Holy Ghost, we've got to allow the Spirit of God to clean out our dwelling. No wonder David said, "Wash me and I'll be clean." We can be washed with religion and we're filthy. We're stinking the nostrils of God. But if we're washed in Jesus, that precious blood, it's no longer a ritual. It's not a religious move. And then we feel the effects of purity in that. Hallelujah. So I stated to this individual, I was telling my wife, I stated to this is in Boone County, sir. I said, "You're talking to the wrong one if you want me to agree with you. If you can go to Walmart, if you can go to a job..." This individual works at a business. If you can work at a place of business, if you can go to a job every day, don't tell me you can't go to church on Sunday. You're talking to the wrong person. I may be crippled, but I ain't crippled that high. I may be a little on the naive side, but I'm not that ignorant. Our desire's in the wrong areas. If we can find enough strength to go to work, I believe we ought to find enough strength to go to the house of God. And so the conversation didn't last long. What are you saying, preacher? Well, I believe everywhere we go, we ought to be willing to defend what God has placed inside of us. And do you know the silent treatment you are not defending? I'm not forgetting, folks, and I'm not talking about in the flesh. I'm not talking about using this old unruly member to say what we feel or religion to stand up for religion. But I'm talking about defend the cross, defend this old book, to defend the way of holiness that we have been raised in, taught in. And folks today are letting it fade away little by little. Simply, they say, well, I don't believe if we go places and listen. Folks, I believe that there's pastors everywhere that I go that ought to be literally ashamed of themselves for not preaching the standard of dress occasionally. I mean, if it hits them, let it hit them. We're afraid we'll offend someone. But I can tell you, I remember, we'll stand a lot of times and you ask folks, I say, well, I'm not for that at all. I believe it's a disgrace, but who am I? And I can't do anything but what I say. Listen, if you say something, that and to say something, that and to say something, that and to say something, after a while, folks might catch on. But most people feel today, nobody will stand up against what they feel to be right or wrong. If it's wrong, they'll still not take a stand against it. Why do you think Boone County become wet? I was in another man's shop just yesterday, and I went by to help him out on a project, keep him from driving down to the houses, going up to see Brother and Sister Smith, and I thought, well, I'll just drop by. He needed a part. I was going to take it to him, save him coming to the house. And as I walked into this shop, I looked on the wall, and I had to put my glasses on to really get a good look so I'd know that it was the way that I was going to state it. And it stated something similar to this. It said, if heaven don't have beer, I'm not going. And you know what I said? Whose sign is that? I wouldn't have figured this man would have had a part in that at all. And I said, well, don't worry about it. You ain't going to have to worry about going. You aren't going. If all we can thank heaven to be is things that we've corrupted here with man's hands, folks, we've got the wrong idea about heaven. I got news for everybody that likes to drink. There's not going to be any booze in heaven. Somebody said, what about the new wine? There ain't going to be anything fermented. It's going to be the Spirit of the Holy One of Israel. That's what we're going to experience throughout the endless ages. And I thought right here, folks, there is a stronghold in Boone County. Brother Fred, religious spirits, man-made gods, made by man's hands, and they're trying to honor God through something they've done. And do you know, I wish I could get this on KHOZ. Would it make you afraid that somebody might sue you? Let them sue me. Let them sue me. I believe I'm speaking from God. I'm speaking what this book says, not what Leo Dye says. What this book says, that the religious folks, the ones that says they're saved and on their way to heaven, it's those that believes you go to church occasionally if the feel good's there. If something else doesn't take priority, then I go. I tried to at least make it, preacher, on Easter and Christmas. I at least try to do that. I had one man tell me here a while back laughing when he said that. He said, I think I'm going this week. And he laughed and he said, hey, it ain't even Easter and Christmas. I usually go Easter and Christmas. But he said, I think I'm going to go. I said, you need to go every Sunday. You need to go every opportunity. Almost dead. This person's on oxygen. Almost dead. Now, I can't understand that. It's hard for me to grasp in my little feeble mind of thinking how that if I was at a point I know we could, any one of us, die at this moment. Our heart could quit ticking and breath could leave our body just like that. But if I was on oxygen and had a terminal disease, I would know there's a very good possibility I might lay down tonight and not wake up and see another day. And folks, I believe it would cause me to be in a place that I'd want to make sure. I wouldn't want to be making jokes about if there's no beer in heaven, I'm not going. I wouldn't want to be making jokes about I go at least twice a year whether I need to or not. I believe I'd get in all sincerity and reaching out and feeling for him, not with the physical, but with the spiritual. I believe if you looked in the book of Acts chapter 17, you'd find, I'm going to jump the gun just a little bit in this, but Apostle Paul began to talk to a bunch of religious folks that were worshiping idolatry. They were worshiping idols. He began to say to them, if you just feel happily, you might find him. And I can tell you, folks, and he's talking about here, they're feeling as a blind man would stagger through a room to feel, as someone that had no inside. But I thought, as Apostle Paul saying this, it's not with this tangible feel that he's talking about. It's with the inward feel. It's with that spirit man. Listen, there ain't one of you, if you go to Western Sizzling after we leave this service today, and there's something on that meat board or salad bar or whatever it may be that you take in your plate, if you taste of it, it tastes sour or tastes spoiled or it's not delightful to your taste, what do you do? You'll spit it out. And that's the same way God's designed our spiritual being. When we begin to taste and see he's good, when it's something that doesn't fit our taste as spirits. Now I can tell you, some of us have developed a religious taste and we don't want the spiritual things inside. But that isn't the way God intended it to be. I'm preaching to you victory over the false altars. Stand with us if you can. In the book of Acts chapter 17, I'll back up and fill you in just a little bit in this. But I'm going to start in verse number 16. I don't know. I may just read a few verses and may skip down. I don't know how I'll do this. Just get started and see, I guess. Verse number 16 of Acts chapter 17. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Listen to this. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the markets daily with them that met with him. Talking about the Gentiles. They weren't allowed in the synagogues. So he spoke with the Jews in the synagogue, with the Gentiles in the marketplaces outside, in other words. Then certain philosophers, I can't say some of these words, of the whatever that word is. And Sister Gail, what's that word?
Epicurean.
Say it again. Epicureans. Epicureans and of the Stoics. Boy, there's some rough ones here. No wonder. They's given to idolatries and they got a bad name out of that, didn't they? Encountered him. And some said, listen what they said. What will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a scatterer forth of strange gods. Now, I want you to hold this in your thought. Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto the, how you say that word? Saying, may we know what this new doctrine thereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear, listen to this, some new thing. thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You man of Athens, I perceive in all things that in all things thou art too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, in whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made one blood in all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek him, seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Verse number 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Verse number 29, for as much then as we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, listen to this, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. You can be seated. I want to continue and preach a little while. Help me, if you will, on how victory over the false altars. Now, I want you to notice here, in the chapter 18, Apostle Paul, verse 1 starts out that he had went to Thessalonica. And verse number 2 states, as the manner was, as I stated to this individual the other day, throughout the New Testament, you will find everywhere that it speaks of the Sabbath, it speaks of Jesus or the apostles, it spoke of them entering in to the synagogue. Yeah. Entering in to the place of worship. That was Saturday, by the way, but if Sunday is the day we choose to worship, that's the day we are to enter in to the place of worship. And I thought here, as Apostle Paul, he went in, and the Bible says, as his manner was in verse number 2, he went in unto them the Sabbath, for three Sabbaths, he's there for 3 weeks, reasoning with them out of the scripture. I believe everywhere that Paul went, the Bible says he would place this in their mind. You hear that he said he taught them of the Lord and his resurrection. Paul said, I know nothing save Jesus and him crucified. It's not about the fine temples or altars that we might build or make and put the gold or the inlaid silver on, the things that might sparkle or glitter. It's not about the choirs that we may have in our church. It's not about these things or the words of eloquency. Paul said, I didn't come preaching or teaching the words of man's wisdom, but I come in power and demonstration of the Spirit. Can I say to you today, the majority of the churches around about are going in words that things that are appealing to people and of eloquency and things that the people will pat them on the back. You hear very little about the shed blood of Jesus Christ anymore. They're taking the altars crowd, the real altar that we are to die on. I said in the previous service, there must be a sacrifice every time we meet at that altar. That sacrifice has to be you and I. In the book of Hebrews chapter 14 and verse number 15, Apostle Paul said, therefore let us, that's Leodai, offer up the sacrifice of praise unto God continuously, which is the fruit of our lips. Give him thanks unto his name, and to communicate, to do good. Forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. Folks, that's a sacrifice today. It'll cost you something, sir. If you offer this sacrifice to God, it'll be in humility. The old flesh has to die. The carnal man has to die, that the spirit man can live inside of you. They'd left, come into Thessalonica. 3 weeks he's disputing with them about the blood and the resurrection. The death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to what happened. And the Bible says that certain of the Jews came. They began to cause an uproar. They brought all the mob, if you will. This is the religious folks. You ain't never had trouble till you get religious folks on your trail. Hello? You ain't never had trouble till you get religious folks on your trail. And them religious folks came, and they begin to stir up the town. You see what religious folks do? If things don't go the direction they want it to go, they get on the telephone and they call their neighbor and they try to discourage the hearts of those that might be incorrigible what they've heard. And the first thing you know, if things aren't going to suit them, they want everybody else going in the direction. And they say, I know where this started. Watch them folks that turned the world upside down. You read it right here in chapter 17. It's them folks that turn the world upside down. Why, they've come down here, and I know who received them. It's the house of Jason. That's where it got started. And the Bible says they went down and assaulted the house of Jason. They're looking for Paul and Silas and Timothy, but the Lord's done took them out and hid them. Well, they bring... We can't find them. We'll bring the ones that fought. Choose one cause this to happen. They turned the world upside down. Now we'll bring you before the magistrates. Well, in this, the Lord sent them to Berea. I'm going to hurry and get out here and preach to you, but I got to stay here with this. In verse number 10, by night he sent them to Berea. When they come, listen what he said. They just got there, and here's what happened. That he went into the synagogue of the Jews. That's where he just had trouble. Yeah. But God said, I've given you a message. I've burst something in your spirit. Glory. Now it's up to you to deliver it. And when he got to Berea, he went right into that place. He knew he was going to have trouble. And he went in there and he began to preach. Listen, folks, the religious realm, they knew that the world's been turned upside down. There's a lot of folks today don't want their world turned upside down. They don't want anything to change. Somebody said, I don't even want you to rock my boat, preacher. Let none turn my world upside down. Listen to what they said here. It didn't last long there either, by the way. Boy, I should never have a pity party, should I? I ain't never been run off soon as I got there. And he went in. He's of readiness of mind. These people are. They've searched the scripture. They're more notable, the Bible says, than those of Thessalonica, because they'd received the word. A lot of folks have received, but they don't want the word. They don't want you preaching something that'll chew on them, that'll eat at them, that'll cause a difference in their life. And now, the same thing happens. Here comes, you know, the same devil that run them out of Thessalonica, the Jews. The Bible says they heard, listen to this, now this is what really got my spirit. They heard in Berea that they're receiving. The devil don't want anybody saved. It doesn't matter if it's Boone County or Marin County. If the devil runs somebody out of Boone County and it's and they're in the will of God, they go to Marion County, guess what? That same devil will follow them down there. And the Bible says these Jews of Thessalonica followed them right down when they heard their Berea, and those folks were ready to receive the word, and many's being saved, many's fallen in this gospel. The Bible says them Jews loaded up and headed to Berea. When they got to Berea, here's trouble again. They cause an uproar. Paul heads out again, but guess where he winds up? Woo! Worst of all. It went from bad to worse. And here's where he winds up, where I started reading. He's waiting. Now, Timothy and Silas has left in Berea, and he said in the last verse to them for them to come in speed, with speed that they depart. In other words, you get there as quick as you can. Listen, in verse number 16, I got to read just a little bit of this and before we get out here and preach to you. Paul's waiting on Silas and Timothy. It says, now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up. Woo! My God, I would today that folks could get their spirits stirred up. If there ever was a time, folks, if we just look out of the Spirit and see our world's in a worse shape than it's ever been. You talk about the world being turned upside down, but it's not of man of God. It's by demons. It's by powers and principalities. I'm not meaning to be a doom and gloom preacher, sir, but I can tell you, in Paul's time, Brother Gary, the world's turned upside down by men of God. But in our time today, the world's being turned upside down by every antichrist spirit that you could possibly imagine. Folks are at ease today. People that's lived in this gospel, a holy life for years, are at ease and saying it doesn't matter anymore. I'm not beneficial anymore. I'm here to tell you, friend, if you're breathing, You're a worker in the kingdom of God, and you can turn the powers and principalities of hell away from somebody in your prayers. While Apostle Paul's waiting, his spirit stirred, and here's the reason why. His spirit stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to adultery. Everywhere. As I begin, I've spent more time in chapter 17 of the book of Acts in the last week than I have in all the years I've been saved. Brother Fred, and I saw more in this than I ever saw before. As Apostle Paul's there, and I've actually misquoted a little bit. It could go that direction, but it really isn't meant that way. The way that I've said, they've got an altar to an unknown God, and they're not worshiping that unknown God. They've got an altar there that just perhaps, you noticed I read to you that they're saying that they studied for anybody that come by with any new thing. If they could find something different. I can tell you, folks, that's a problem in our church today. They're not satisfied with the simplicity of the gospel any longer. They can't read John 3:16. They can't read, "For God so loved the world, Sister Joanne, that he gave." They can't be satisfied. They got to have some new thing. But listen, folks, the sad part in this was that this city was not one time wholly given over to idolatry. They were one time worshipers of the true God of Israel, the God that Rahab saw, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. As Rahab said, the God of all the heaven and earth. There's no other God like him. They used to worship the true God, but little by little, here comes somebody by some slick willy that's been to a Bible college of the deadhead and begin to preach to them falsehood and say to them, it doesn't matter how we dress any longer. It doesn't even matter. If we don't want to go to church, don't go. Just pay your tithe when you do. I can tell you, that man's after your pocketbook. He's a harlot, he's not a shepherd. He's a harlot, and he's after what will benefit him. He doesn't care for your soul. He's after what benefits him. And then I begin to look at this. in this God. It wasn't just this one altar there. There's many altars. And in this, there's many gods that was formed by man's hands. As I begin to study on this, they worship the surrounding coast. They worshiped Asia. They worshiped Greece. They worshiped all these places round about. They would have altars that they would worship and incense to give to those false gods. It was material gods, if you will, sir. It was, you notice what Paul said as he perceived that you are in all means too superstitious when he saw this devotion. And did you notice how Paul stated this? He said, as I passed by, he just walked by and he saw that altar to the unknown God. That perhaps there was no one there at that altar. Listen, before I was saved, Brother Mike Martin, he was an unknown God to me. And that altar to the unknown is an altar that can be well known to this world. Can I say today, to the religious church world, to the majority of them, they've got that same altar. It's an altar to the unknown. They never reached the place that Paul said that he knew a man above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. But God knows such a man was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that wasn't even lawful to be uttered. Until we get to a place that we've been called up to the level he's on. Not saying we'll be like God. Christians to be Christ-like. I can never work the works of Christ except Christ be in me. That altar one time was to an unknown God. You hear this old preacher and you hear him well. Everybody will seek some kind of God. It may be, I believe in Boone County, folks, it bared out in the last election. The religious folks, it made me sick to my stomach. I was stirred up as Apostle Paul was stirred here. Religious folks, I could name you some individuals that was in Assembly of God Church that had been in the assembly for years. But very religious, but very lost. Here's what they said. As far as myself, I'm not really for the drinking. But if Marion County's going to get our tax money and get money that would benefit us, I'm for having it here. I'm voting for it. Put a sign in his yard. He'll tell somebody on a Sunday, I love the Lord. And on a Monday, he's typifying everything of the world. Listen, folks, when I'm dying, don't let that man pray for me. I'm praying he might push me on in the grave. I want somebody that's got the power of God. You can call me what you want to, a religious fanatic, whatever you want to, but folks, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If it was ever wrong, you tell me today. If we getting beer in Boone County has ever benefited Boone County a dollar? Not at all. It's destroyed homes. It's destroyed minds. It's corrupted the morality. And a man that was here in our service last week told me that right now they're working on something going to be much worse. He said that they have their way. By the time that the election rolls around, they're going to be voting Arkansas wide. It won't just be Boone County. It'll be Searcy County, Arkansas wide for the casinos. And there'll be little Bransons everywhere. There'll be, Tunica, Mississippi, everywhere that folks can go. I can tell you this is a spirit, and it gets a hold of folks. It gets inside of them. They can't break it. Their children to go hungry because the devil's robbed them at the casinos. Their families go without because the devil's robbed them. And we've stood by saying, bless God, if somebody else has got it, we want to be like them. We want to have what they've got. I want my county to flourish. I can tell you how to flourish when we give away to the adultery spirits and begin to worship that unknown God to Boone County. Yes, sir. I believe the real God is unknown in Boone County. All we know of him, you know, I heard about Abraham Lincoln, but I never knew Abraham Lincoln. I've heard about this God, but the only way I'll ever know this God is at this devotion, at this altar, is not as a blind man begins to feel with the material hands. Did you notice what Apostle Paul said? These are just not devotions that are made from the carnal. I know the flesh. You have to get the flesh to go that flesh can die at that altar. The spirit man of Laodicea many times has to say, flesh, you're going to fast like it or not. Old flesh, the old intestines start crying. You've heard me say, the large intestine growls at the small one and says, if you don't feed me, I'm going to start eating one another. But the Spirit says, fast. And you've got to crucify that flesh. Listen, folks, I'm preaching better than you're shouting, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. Thank God I ain't got my glasses on. I might get a little discouraged. But I'm going to preach it. If every devil in hell don't like it and frowns, I'm still going to preach it. I believe there's an unknown God here in Boone County, and he's the God of the universe. As Paul began to walk through Mars Hill, he said, I just passed by and I saw your devotions. You know, most folks are more devoted to the man of works of man's hands than they are to the works of God. You let a man call you into something, most folks see more benefits from that than they do from the benefits. I got news for you. The benefit I'm looking for is out of this world. I receive it. He loaded us daily with all his benefits here. But the real true one, Brother Earl, that I'm looking for will be the day that this mortal man gives up to immortality. That I say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? It's been swallowed up in Christ. And that day, folks, will be the day I'll be able to say, thank God I made it. Thank God I made it. It wasn't the works of man's hands that got me there, but it was crying out to a God that one time I didn't know, but because I was there at that altar, I died at that altar, if you will, and the spirit man resurrected, and now it's in him that I live and move and have my being. I believe if we live in him, if it's in him we live and move, if we live in him, I believe we'll live of his substance. His life is our life. His breath is our breath. If we move in him, I believe that's a move toward him. It'll never be away from the things of God. It will be toward the things of God. The things of God will be a joy unto our spirit. His commandments are not grievous no longer. It's not causing an uproar. When someone, I can tell you folks, that anything that God asked us to give up, it shouldn't be too much. He said, for if we don't forsake homes and land, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and our own life. Then he said, take up our cross and follow him. We cannot be his disciple. Anything God asks us, Brother Brett, to do, it had not to be too much for us to lay down and take up our cross and follow him. It had not to be too much. He hasn't asked me to go to Ethiopia. He hasn't asked me to go to the Philippines and leave my family. And if he did, I might question the Lord. I'm not telling you I wouldn't. For number one, I'm afraid of water and I'm afraid of heights. There ain't no other way getting there, either by boat or airplane. Now I can tell you, the Lord's going to have to make a way plain for me if I go. It wouldn't be altogether separation from family, even though I can tell you, folks, there's been a lot of people been separated from family because they's willing to follow the commandment of the Lord. It's a lot easier if we're not careful. Listen, you hear this, if you hear nothing else, this old preacher stated to you today, if we're not careful, if we don't take a stand, I'm talking every day of our life, we've got to take a stand for what we know to be right. We let down our guard just a little bit, Brother Earl, and the first thing you know, we find ourselves in an atmosphere. There's many altars there, and there's only one there that was to the unknown. All the other gods, they knew well. It was the gods of materialistic It was the God. Did you notice what Paul said? He said, just like you think that God needs your hands to help him in building a house for him, a temple for him, I'll tell you where the temple is right here. We are the temple of the Lord. He said, such as with gold and silver, it's not in that at all. They can make their gold altars. They can make their gold sacrifices, but it's not in that. If you were to go back into the book of Exodus, I believe it is, chapter 32, you'd find at this point the children of Israel had done somewhat pretty good. And they'd been some murmuring take place. They'd been, every obstacle seemed like Christian people get up again. If they're not totally sold out, I can tell you, dear friend, everybody that left Egypt wasn't leaving because God said there's a promised land. Majority of those folks were leaving because they didn't like the task the devil put on them. They didn't like the devil pushing them around. They liked the garlic the devil raised. They liked the leeks that the devil grew. They liked everything that was there of the comfort zone of Egypt. But they didn't like the fact there's tasks in serving the devil. There's torments in serving the devil. But friend, as they get up against an obstacle, the Bible plainly declares that the first thing they'd stayed, as they said to Moses, you bring us out here to die. You said there's a promised land. There's a Red Sea. We're in a heap of trouble. The devil's behind us. The Red Sea's before us. But God made a plain statement and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord this day. For the Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more forever. For God's going to fight this battle, and you can hold your peace. Listen, folks, when we get in difficult situations, we need to wait on God. We need to wait on God. We don't need to panic. We don't need to let the devil jump up on our shoulder and begin to talk, whisper things in our ears of defeat. We need to wait on God. They've done pretty good. They went less than a 2-month journey in the wilderness, and there's bitter water. How many of you ever thought you had a bitter pill in life? And you sit down, you start singing the hee-haw song. Nobody knows the troubles I see. And then you, nobody knows my sorrow. And it's, there's nothing will make the bitter waters of life sweet but the cross. You see, God spoke to Moses. And he showed him, listen, read it for yourself. He showed him a tree. Yeah. This was prophecy, Brother Fred, of the New Testament church dispensation. There's nothing will make the bitter waters of your life sweet except we see that tree that Jesus. It wasn't just any old tree, sir. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my soul was rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. I'm not stumbling around as blind man in noonday. I'm not worshiping the unknown God any longer, Brother Earl, but I'm worshiping the true God of heaven and earth. I'm giving a devotion to a God that's not made by man's hands. And he showed him that tree, and he put it in there in the water, and it became sweet. Everything's all right with religious folks when things are sweet. Hello, I'm talking to you probably. Everything's all right when it's sweet, but let it get a little bitter and things go bad in a hurry. Oh, preacher, I'd rather have them bless me prosperity. Them preachers that tell me I put a dollar in, God's going to give me a thousand. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. I can tell you, you put a dollar in, you may not get a dollar back, but you may be able to get up and walk the next day. He loads us daily with all of his benefits. It didn't say money, it's benefits. I can tell you, money can't buy health, Brother Jack. Money can't buy peace. Money can't buy joy. Money can't buy happiness. But he'll load us daily with all those. I didn't tell you you wouldn't hit a bitter place somewhere in life, but you add that cross to that bitter place and it'll become sweet in your life. As we journey on, let me hurry, I gotta get to chapter 32. I'll just skip over, get to chapter 32. They done a little bit of murmuring, complaining, but they got back on track. And now here in chapter 32, God spoke to Moses, the man of God. In chapter 31, God's called him upon the mount, and he done told them. The children of Israel knew what's going on. He's heard the God call. God's called him to a higher level. And God said, I'm going to write my covenant. I'm going to write my commandments in stone. It'll be engraved in your heart eventually, but I'm putting it upon stone. And Moses, in the presence of God for 40 days, and the Bible says, here's about the 39th day, the Bible begins to declare, here's this religious group. They've had about all they can stand. We ain't had no devotion since Moses left. They didn't know the God of heaven as Moses knew him. And here's what they said. They knew where he's at. He's on a commission. God sent him, called him to a higher level. You got to get to a place God can speak to you. And God began to speak to Moses. He's writing these commandments. It's time for him to come down. But right in the time that he's to come down, they begin to fall to sin, to idolatry, if you will. And the Bible says, here comes all this religious group that their heart wasn't in coming out of Egypt. They saw the blessings of it, but they didn't see the responsibility that come with those blessings. They still, every time, how can you tell that preacher? Every time things go wrong, you'll blame the preacher, or you'll blame God, or you'll blame both. And you'll say, well, God, if this is the way it is, I ain't going to church Sunday morning. I'll just go back to Egypt. I'd just soon be sitting there. At least they had some garlic and bread. Flesh pots now and then. Yeah, I'm preaching to you. It was all there. It's all there. And I love the idea. I love the fact that there's a promised land. Woo! It flows with milk and honey. If you don't like milk and honey, something wrong. It flows with milk and honey. There's vineyards there for the taking. There's wells. We don't even have to dig them. They're already there, dug. There's houses. There's gold and silver and cattle. Everything's there for the taking. That's what my eyes is on. Listen, folks, if you're looking toward heaven just for a mansion, just for a place of splendor, you're looking for the wrong reason. I'm looking toward heaven because Jesus, number one, Jesus bled and died on Calvary's tree that I could have life and in it abundantly. And Jesus is their number one priority. Number two, there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. The devil won't be in heaven, by the way. It'll be a place eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither hath it entered in to the heart of man the good things God's prepared for them that love him. Religion has captured so many folks to that altar. You just listen. We'll pray to every kind of God you can imagine. But most folks, very few you hear call the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Listen, folks. If it isn't in Jesus we live, it isn't in nobody. The life of him breathing through us. Let me hurry and get on. Moses on that mountain, they're right to the point. of victory. They're right to the place God's going to come down smile. If you were to read in chapter 33, you'd find out God's very angry. I believe if we'd read the book of today that God's writing for America, I believe God's very angry, folks. I believe God's very angry. He said to Moses, I'll kill every one of them. Somebody said, you mean God said that? He sure did. Read it for yourself. I'll destroy them. And as Moses stood in the gap, that they weren't destroyed. But listen, just because all wasn't destroyed does not mean some wasn't. There was many of those adulterers destroyed that day. Here comes this feel-good religious group. And they said, Aaron, get up and make us a god that we can see that'll go before us. As for this Moses, we don't know what's become of him. He's been gone. This is the 40th day. This is the time God said it's finished. It's ready to go. But they give up. Psalms chapter 78 said, how soon would I subdue their enemy, turn my hand against their adversary? But right in the time God would have done it, they gave up. And now God spoke to Moses. He said, that rebellious people you brought out, they've done turned. Get down there. They've done turned from serving me. When he starts off that mountain, here they got up the next morning. You see, Aaron knew he's in a heap of trouble. The Bible says he told the people, well, get up and break off the gold. This is the altars. This is the sacrifice that's made with man's hands. Break off the gold out of your wife's ears and out of your son's ears and their nose, God forbid. No wonder they's in trouble. No wonder. As a man tried to convince me one time, ain't nothing wrong with a man wearing an earring or a nose ring. He said, I can prove to you in the Bible. They had them back in the book of Exodus. This was in a letter he wrote me. Still got it in my Bible. I didn't dispute. I didn't talk again what he said. But I told my wife as I read that letter with tears. And here's what this man said. He come to this church, by the way. He said, now, this is the kind of letters everybody enjoys having. I kept it for a long time. I still got it. I kept it. He said, there's people I'd like to invite to White Oak. But I know if I do, you'll offend them. He said, you'll preach on people wearing orange hair. If they ain't got no more sense than to paint their hair orange, there's something wrong. It ain't just a spirit thing. Their minds in trouble. They're touched other than just spirit. And he said, that you'll preach on the way they dress. And he said, you'll preach on them wearing earrings. And said, I can prove to you in the Bible. And I thought when he said this, if it had been Paul, the Bible says he went in into the synagogues and debated the word of God. He didn't speak anything other than the word. But I can tell you, these gods they had on their hands and in their ears, it became a snare to them. And 3,000 of them died that day. 3,000 of them died that day. Moses comes down. Here they are dancing around this false god made by hands of man. This is the gods brought us out of Egypt. A lie! Those gods did not bring them out of Egypt. That's the gods that stopped them from going in the promised land. You see, the Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of lies. That wasn't the God brought them out. The God that brought them out said, these gods will stop you from going in. And guess what? They didn't go in. They didn't go in. Folks, I'm preaching victory over the false altars. It's not real easy to tell the difference. And the sad part is, Aaron's a great man of God. You got Aaron in on this worship. Preacher, it's got to be all right. I see brother so-and-so doing it, and I've known them for years. It ain't all right, sir. It isn't all right. Makes no difference who's falling in to the liberal, charismatic move of worship. I'm here to tell you it isn't all right. A preacher, I can't tell you, folks. Now listen. You know how I feel here about, I've never told anybody. I know I told them at Falling Water. I almost am ashamed to go places and preach because you'll have people, your own people a lot of times, and if you ever say anything about a dress code, the only thing you ever preached on is that. I have never told anybody that if a lady wears pants to church, that she's hell-bound. There's probably some Christian people that are better Christians than I'll ever be, Christian women that wears pants. But I can tell you this, when they take a part where they're singing, if they want to sit out here, that's fine. Now, if they can stand the preaching, I believe I can preach it to where after a while, if they got a love for God, they're going to get in or out. They'll either learn to hate me or love me. I said, I'm not compromising, and I'm not in for anybody. I'm not out for anybody. I don't aim to hurt anybody, but I just believe in preaching it like I started. If I change and alter the Word of God, folks, it's going to hinder somebody that they might not make it to heaven. And I've got news for you. You'll never live it too strict to make heaven, but you could be too lenient and miss out. We're almost there, so I see no need to give up, do you? And be lenient. But there's folks today, classify me, all I know how to do is preach on the clothesline. I'll preach 142 hours and 141 hours and 45 minutes of that will be on something else other than anything to do with a dress. Is that not correct? Just a minute or two every once in a while I hit on that. I believe it's needful. We got too many chicken-livered preachers. I hope this goes on the radio, the TV. I'd like for TBN to play it. Folks, we got too many chicken-livered preachers. They're afraid they'll make Mr. Walletbook offended or mad, and he'll come in withhold. I can tell you, I'd rather for him to withhold the dollars than the Lord withhold the blessings, hadn't you? I'd much rather the dollar be withheld than the blessings. Listen, folks, this is coming down to a serious part here. They looked at Aaron. They had confidence in Aaron. If Aaron had been prayed up like he ought to, what Aaron would have said is no way. It wasn't them gods of gold brought us out. You remember the plagues. You remember how God parted that. No, sir. The gold didn't part that Red Sea. It was the God of heaven and earth parted that Red Sea. If we're going to make it, it'll be because the God of heaven and earth goes before us. And Aaron should have stood his ground, but he didn't. And in that, folks, he caused many to fall that day. And when he come down, God began to speak to Moses. And God's ready to destroy all of them, but Moses intercedes. And here's what God spoke to Moses. He said, Moses, I want you to draw a line. Folks, I can tell you, there's a line being drawn today. Hey, I believe the true church is going to flourish and stand up. It doesn't matter to me what you call yourself, whether you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, or Presbyterian, whatever you may call yourself, if you're not born again and you're not a true worshiper. You see, the Bible said, Jesus speaking in John chapter 4, that God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. It's not in feel good or in ritual. It's not tangible, but it's in spirit and it's in truth. Now Moses states, as God begins to pronounce, here's the lines drawed. Now all that's on the Lord's side come unto me. And there come of the tribes of Levi. And he said, I want you to put this sword in your hand. Listen, folks, let me get this sword here, that I could put it in my hand. Here's what the Lord's stating today. He said, those that are on the Lord's side, you get the sword in your hand and you come unto me. Did you notice that the Bible states when Paul entered in, all those places he entered in, he preached to them the words of truth. He didn't preach to them a man's theory. He preached to them the words of truth. It's getting far and in between today that you hear the true word of God being preached in most of the churches today. Most people know what makes folks feel good, and they know the better folks feel, the bigger the offering, the more applause, the more pats on the back, the more chicken dinners they might get. I mean, folks ain't ignorant, and they're worshiping, and it's an altar saying, we don't know the God, but we just got it out here. There is a real God somewhere. One time we had it, but somehow or another we've lost it, and this is a devotion to the unknown God. That sword being in their hand, listen to this. Bible says there fell that day 3,000 3,000. If we're on the Lord's side, sometimes, folks, it's not all about a shout of victory. Sometimes, I can tell you, those brothers fighting against brothers. Brother Fred, there was some that day fought their kindred. And I can tell you, it was heartbreaking. It was a devastating day that they had to do that. But God said, there's a line being drawn. We're either going to stand for what's right or we're going to fall into what's wrong. And if we're on the Lord's side, we're going to have to take a stand for it today. And friend, if you don't voice again what's wrong, whether you ever say anything for it or not, if you're not against it, the Bible says to not only just do those things that are wrong, but don't even take pleasure in them that do it. There's many today not voicing again the things they know to be wrong. They know it to be wrong. Here, 3,000 dies on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, there's 3,000 born that day. Why? Because somebody dared to tarry. Not everybody that went tarried, but about 120 of them tarried. There was 2/3 of that congregation left before the promise fell. But somebody dared to tarry. Listen, folks. I've not got done with this. I may get on it again. I may not. But I feel like it's time to close. This morning I probably preached too long. These altars, I've seen more in this. You know, isn't it something? How when, if you read it once, read it again. You read it once, read it again. You read it for a week, and I'll guarantee you, if you'll read it praying in the Spirit, God will begin to reveal things to you you never saw before. And as God began to reveal this, folks, these people one time knew this God that's unknown now. But now it's like they never knew Him. It's just like a fairy tale or a dream. And they built an altar. This wasn't the only altar they had, but they did have an altar there to the unknown. We've not reached the place that we can get in touch or in tune with this God. He can't be reached by man's hands. He can't be reached by man's materialistic. You don't flatter God by saying, I give $1,000 to Goodwill. He owns all the... Somebody says the cattle on 1,000 hill and the tater under every hill. He owns it all anyhow. We can't flatter God and we can't impress God by our giving. It's not the things that's built by man's hands, but it's out of that heart is what's going to touch God and affect God to be moved upon America, to be moved upon Boone County again. If the heart will reach out and feel, it isn't the tangible, the hand thing, but it's the heart things. We're seeking the hand of God much more than we're seeking the face of God. The face is His deity, what He is. He's a holy God, and He's to be reverenced in holiness and in fear today. And when we do that, folks, God will begin to hear. God will begin to answer. Sis, would you sing that song? You got a voice, sing that song. We'll go forward if we just go back. If you do, come sing that. If you don't, that's all right. But I want to open these altars.